The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to a very aggressive Motivation and Muscle show today. This is the show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is May 26, 2015, and we are sponsored by U.S. Wellness Meats, www.grassfedbeef.com. Go out and take a look at John's site and go buy something because he's got the best stuff out there. Secondly, we got Saugerties Chiropractic Center. This is for New York residents. This is my chiropractor, Mark Colligan. Basically, we've gone over this guy for a long time. Great guy. Soft tissue, trigger points. He's got the drop table, deep tissue laser, the pulsed electromagnetic frequencies. Great with everybody, especially sports injuries. I'm hoping that he can clear up the rest of my shoulder. I've got to go down there next Monday. And we are going to have him on. I know I've been saying this, but he's having Wi-Fi problems. It's all, if you know anything about the Hudson Valley where he is, he's kind of like in a dish and they have a lot of problems. But once we can get him straightened out, we're going to have him on once a month. Very interesting guy. I mean, and he can talk the talk, and I think it's going to really help, you know, all the listeners of the show, because there's a lot of people that don't know or they're on the fence about it. So, call them at 845-246-5020. They're in the process of redoing their website. Next, we have our regular on, Dr. William Wong. Dr. Wong's Essentials, that's www.docsprefer.com. Fantastic guy. I've known him probably for about, I don't know, at least 10 to 15 years. Same with John Wood. I've had relationships with these people long before they even came on Motivation and Muscle, and I thank them. Next, we've got our regular Roger Lapointe. He's the president of Atomic Athletic. Roger started out with me. He was the first guest on Motivation and Muscle. Go out and look at his site. Very hardcore. He can build stuff for you, et cetera, et cetera. Go give him a look. And obviously, Roger's a big contributor. I've known Roger since the York days. And just like all these gentlemen, they are accessible. That's a big thing. And then last but not least, we got a brand new one, Melody Schoenfeld. She was on the show on Friday. She's out in Southern California. This girl is incredible. 105 pounds, 5 foot. She holds the powerlifting records for that class. You ought to see her bend steel. And she's also a metal singer for Ed Force, which is Iron Maiden cover band. You ought to hear this little girl belt this stuff out. She's amazing. She was great to have on the show, just full of power. Well, she's on with us now, and I think she's going to be doing a monthly show with us too. For anybody, she has fabricators that build custom weightlifting equipment. If you go out to her site, you'll see some of the maces they do. They're beautiful. Go out to www.evilmonkeyent. It's evilmunkeyent.com. Go out and check it out. And for anybody that buys through Motivation Muscle right now, you get 25% off any custom equipment. She's got aerospace guys building the stuff. She's really on the dot. You got to go out on Facebook and put her name in. She's incredible. So, Melody, thanks for the support, too. And like I said, everybody here is with the whole team, and I couldn't be happier about that. Well, today's Tuesday. And if you've been following us for the last 39 weeks here, Roger Lapointe has been on with me from the get-go. And we're going to do a show today called Pull My Finger. And this is going to be one or two, you're going to be using fingers to lift. And if you harken back to the old days, this was some big stuff. We're going to talk about that. And I don't know what else. We might even get into some other stuff. I was saying to Roger that I feel like rodeo bull aggressive today, junkyard aggressive today, just hungry. I had a great show with Steve Shaw last night. that kind of set the pace, I think, for the week. So, Raj, welcome to Motivation Muscle, sir.
Thank you, Eric. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Give everybody just a real quick, short bio, and let's get right into today's subject, if you would, please.
Okay. My name is Roger LaPointe. The company is Atomic Athletic, and the site is atomicathletic.com, exactly how it sounds, A-T-O-M-I-C-A-T-H-L-A-T-I-C.com. I am a lifter. I was the Olympic lifting advisor for the York Barbell Company in the mid-90s, and I've done competitive Olympic lifting. I've set records in the All-Round Association. I'm an avid stone lifter. If you see a granite ball being lifted out there, it probably came from me. I, you know, first stone balls being sold commercially right here, I started that business. And the ones that we sell are actual stone. They're not concrete. So
no, they're pretty nasty. I've got a few of them. I started little Al, who's 14, he started lifting the 60-pounder on Saturday, had no trouble with it at all, and great starter stone, and quality. I mean, I put them all down on mats. I don't want to be chipping them at all. You know, I don't want to do anything, but they're not only are they – one thing I do like about the granite is it digs into you. I know that everybody lifts smooth stones. I do it too. But if I'm walking for distance, I really want something that's going to bite right into my forearms, and they accomplish that. What else you got, Raj? Obviously, we know you did well with the safety squat bars. I hope at some point you bring those back.
Mm-hmm.
Just an update on the one I've got from you. Real interesting. I started doing good mornings with them. And it's, you know, right now with some of the shoulder stuff going on, you know, we decided, you know, obviously we're going to keep our hands in front of us. We've had multiple talks about this, how it feels like more of a front squat, especially when you load this beast. And the way, you know, everybody likes to talk about the core, I call it abdominals. Just the holding pattern when you stand up with this thing's just out of sight. And I did a 300-pound good morning.
Nice.
Let's see, what night was that? Saturday night. And I'll be training tomorrow morning, obviously, because I want to give another, like, day off. My back yesterday was hammered. I mean,
I was just going to say, your spinal erectors were...
All the way. And the thing that's real interesting about that bar, because I've been out doing a lot of reading about it, it really attacks the upper back big time. And it's from what I'm gathering, obviously, with myself, it's just the way the design of the bar is. There's so much that's over the center of you. And let me tell you something. 300 pounds, good morning, usually I can just rip those things off. This thing was a lot different. It came up. It wasn't a problem, but it was a lot slower. Obviously, I haven't done them for, I don't know, a couple of years at least. But I will tell you this. Once you learn the positioning of that, and I'll give everybody a tip if you haven't figured it out already, before you start to engage the lift, start lifting those handles up a little bit, because right now, if they're pointed down the way they are when you first get into that big collar, you're going to have one hell of a problem coming off. See, I do everything dead stop off the rods, so it's even more severe on me. But if you're coming out of the short saddles or anything, you might have a little bit of difficulty with it. So that's just a tip. I've learned how to kind of time it coming off the rods and bringing the handholds in front, you know, coming up slightly. Because when you do that, it's a whole different feel and position of the bar. So, you know, I told Roger I'm going to be giving more updates on it anyways, and we'll see what happens, because I really haven't tried any big partials with it yet or anything like that. But I do believe probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to be exploring that, and maybe even some old-school isometric holds too. So, you know, I'll give everybody the blow-by-blow, and hopefully Roger will bring these back at some time, and, you know, we can get you to go out and think about purchasing one. So, Raj, obviously pull my finger. You know, we're going to get into, obviously, some one-finger, two-finger lifts. Why don't you start the ball rolling?
All right, yeah. You know, I was thinking about Szymanski this past weekend because, you know, his big party is coming up this Saturday. And the, you know, it, just some of the ideas that he had. And, you know, when I interviewed him for World Weightlifting Magazine, gosh, almost 20 years ago now for the first interview, he had some really great things to say. And, you know, one of them, and I'm going to paraphrase mostly here, but, you know, said, you know, if this shit were easy, everyone would be doing it. And no one would be impressed by the strongman. So, you know, when you see these, you know, these little trends starting and, you know, they're embraced by pop culture and it seems like everybody's doing it. You should start scratching your head at that point. What's going on? You know what I mean?
Because, without a doubt.
Because if everybody's doing it, is it really that tough? Or maybe it started out tough and now people are just buying the t-shirt?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Hey, look, you can walk around anywhere and you'll see the shit on people. I'm like, you know, half of them don't even look like they touch a weight. You know what I mean? It's like, I guess if you're selling stuff, it's great because obviously you make a little money. But
well, I like paying the bills. You know, that's good.
Absolutely.
Being able to pay the mortgage with this stuff is a great thing. And people that wear my t-shirts around and the York t-shirts that we sell and stuff like that, that's good because it keeps me doing this. Not only that,
you know, it's a good thing too, Raj, to keep spreading the word. You know, because if you run into, you know, people and over two day period, you either see like, you know, Atomic Athletic, York Barbell, Fiorello Barbell Company, Motivation and Muscle, you're going to be like, hey, you know what? There's a billboard right there. Maybe I'm going to go out and look and see who the hell these guys are, whether I like doing that or stuff. Well, maybe I'll buy some of their stuff. So, I mean, yeah, it's – hey, look, any way you can get the name out there, any way you can get what we're talking about today out there is a win-win no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. On the other hand, and this is the flip side of the coin, Norb also said don't be a lifting bum. And he really meant that. And this was like grandpa talking to his grandson kind of information. I said, what do you mean don't be a lifting bum? He says, well, here's the thing. You actually have education, Raj. And you have a job in this field. But it's a job that could transfer to any other field, you know. Traveling around the world, you're selling weights, you're doing politics with the Olympic Committee, stuff like that. That's real professional work. There are a lot of guys out there that, you know, they just train and never work on a profession. They don't, you know, they ignore their families, stuff like that. That's not being a real lifter. And it really, it was that thought that made me, you know, it kept going through my head because I've been working with Norb's youngest daughter because we're doing various PR for this. And there are some ideas that Norb wants to get out there about hard training. And doing legitimate stuff. I mean, just from the longevity standpoint, we're going to ignore all of his records, all of his Olympic medals, all of his titles, okay? Just from a longevity standpoint, you've got a lot of people today that say that regardless of your level of fitness and what you're doing, if you're a big person, you're going to die young. Norb was a super heavyweight lifter. I think at his biggest, he was, I don't know, 285 at 6 foot. And, you know, if people have seen pictures of him at his biggest, he was a solid 285.
Right.
Well, we're celebrating his 91st birthday.
Yep.
So just from a longevity standpoint, that size issue thing is not necessarily true.
Nope.
Now, you don't want to be a giant fat ass.
No, exactly.
That's not healthy. That's not what I'm saying here. But just being big,
yep,
that's not unhealthy. So, you know, on the other hand, you know, I also want to push the idea of the no excuses kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because yep. I had a personal training studio for a short period of time and sold it to my assistant.
Yep.
Why I'm not of a personal trainer mentality.
Mm-hmm.
The whining and excuses and crap like that, I can't handle that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather sell equipment, write, do the wall charts and the books and things like that, build like genuine, serious, functional man caves for people.
Yep.
That's cool. That's real cool. But all the excuses and things like that, uh-uh. So then I started thinking, okay, so is Norb actually pushing just Olympic lifting? And he's not.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did all kinds of feats of strength, too. And there are a lot of guys out there, and women, too. Life gets in the way. And one of the things that Norb would talk about is don't be a lifting bum. Mm-hmm. There's stuff that you've got to do as a responsible human being.
Right.
And, as an example, one of the people that I was thinking about was John Terlazzo.
Mm-hmm.
John Terlazzo is not as well known as his older brother, Tony, who won a gold medal in the 36 Olympics. But John actually had a record in the one-hand barbell snatch before they removed that as an Olympic lift.
Yeah.
And then World War II happened, and his lift was as a junior age lifter, okay? So then World War II happened, and he had the misfortune of catching a ton of shrapnel in his lower right leg.
Yep.
Didn't lose his leg, had serious surgeries, but had what was called a drop foot after that. So he kept it when he came back from World War II, kept doing the Olympic lifts, except that he couldn't do splits anymore.
Right.
Because his foot would drag because of the drop foot. So basically, it was nothing but power cleans and power snatches.
Mm-hmm.
And those weren't really done at that time. So he really didn't do much in the way of snatches anymore. But he did still do cleans. And the guy could clean 310 as a 181.
Wow.
Yeah, which is an amazing thing. And then that got me into thinking about my buddy Vic Boff and his show partner, Charlie Phelan. And I don't know why, my brain works this way, but I think it had more to do with my son coming into the room, who's 8 right now, and the whole pull my finger thing. You know?
Yep. Yep.
This is hilarious stuff for a little kid. And I said, there are guys who do one finger lifting.
Yeah.
And he says, one finger lifting? With what? I said, well, like even barbells and stuff like that. It's, amazing kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how much do they lift? Can they lift 100 pounds? Is that seems to be his magic number, 100 pounds, right? And I said, no, there are guys who could do like 700 pounds. The what?
Yep.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking about John Terlazzo and his messed up leg. And John's been dead for 15 years now. Okay.
Yep.
But when, and he died at 85 years old, I think he was, but he didn't just stop lifting.
Right.
He kept doing it. And the thing that I like to point out to people is lifting is not just power lifting. Mm-hmm. It's not just Olympic lifting. It's not just bodybuilding. It's not even just throwing like in track and field. Okay? There are all these other lifts that you can do. And when you dig down deep, you can tell that certain guys' body types are better for one type than another. Charlie Phelan, let me read you some of his records, okay?
Yep.
I've got an original card of his that he used to hand out at the on the boardwalk at Coney Island, okay?
Yep.
Holder of 5 world records. One finger, 506 pounds. 2 fingers, 700 pounds. Hand and thigh, 1,125 pounds. Hip lift, 1,600 pounds. Back lift, 2,500 pounds. Then they've got the very short bio, and, you know, there's the cartoon and kind of thing like you would see in the Ripley's Believe It or Not kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing, you know, the question's going to be from the listeners is this. How did he train to do one-finger, two-finger lifts? That's going to be the big thing. You know, let's face it. Everybody's got talent, but you and I both know when you're pulling stuff like that off, you'd have to have almost like steel fingers, cabled fingers. So do they get into what they were doing, Raj, as far as training for? I know the old saying, if it's an event, you're going in to train for the event. But, you know, you and I both know fingers and hands are dangerous, man.
Right.
You pull a tendon or something in a finger or break a finger, you can be down for a while. So was there anything that they talked about specifically that they did to do this stuff?
Well, that's a really fantastic question because Vic Boff had a booklet that he would give out to prospective strongmen, he called them.
That's cool. Oh, that's good. That's a good way to set you up. You got a goal here, perspective.
Yes. And he would look for these guys. Like, literally, he worked for the Ivanko Barbell Company, and they would take him to, you know, every trade show. They'd have Vic there in the booth. And everybody knew Vic, and Vic was an outgoing guy. I met Vic in 1996. At my first trade show. It was the Super Show in Atlanta, which was a general sporting goods show and held in whatever the huge trade show, aircraft hangar like building is that they've got down in Atlanta.
Yep.
And our booth at York Barbell was right across the aisle from the Ivanko booth. They were our big competitor at the time, okay? It was Ivanko and York Barbell. Vic looks across at me my first day after we got set up, and he says, I heard there was an Olympic lifter at York again. I said, yeah? He says, I'm looking at you, and you're the guy. I said, yeah? And he says, I'm going to teach you some things. I said, well, you're at our Ivanko, our competitor. He says, we're all lifters.
Yeah.
It's like, great, great. Okay, so first thing Vic shows me, he takes a pair of York solid dumbbells, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that, and the guys that don't know what they are. Some people will call them like a bun-shaped dumbbell head.
Yep.
Some people say they're round dumbbells. They're not. They're not cannonball heads. York mm-hmm. did make cannonball head dumbbells, okay? But these were a different design that they started in the late 60s, okay? So they were round with a flat on the bottom so they wouldn't roll around if you set them on the floor.
Yep.
And they were somewhat disc-shaped, but a cast iron head dumbbell. Now, they were great. They're still the best cast iron dumbbells out there because they have what's called a flanged handle. You don't see this because the flange is cast on the inside of the head. I sell these things all the time. And what they do is the steel handle on a cast iron head does not have a good chemical bond. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this goes for any cast iron dumbbell, you know, all the hex dumbbells out there, whatever. Not a good chemical bond. I'm sure you've had dumbbells where somebody's dropped them on the floor and the head feels loose.
Like oh, yeah.
Be ready to fall off.
Oh, yeah.
That can happen with any cast iron head dumbbell. The difference with the York ones is the flange on the handles. What they do is they press the end and crimp the end of each side of that steel handle so it flares out. That flaring out means that if that chemical bond is broken when somebody drops the dumbbell on the concrete, the head's not going to fall off because there is a mechanical reason for it to stay there. It might feel loose, but it's never going to slide off. The only way you're getting that head off is by shearing the steel handle off. And then you're going to know that the head's gone because that handle is sheared off. Now, the shape of those dumbbells is very interesting because you can crisscross those dumbbells.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you've got a pair of 20s. A pair of 20s is a good way to start. You can do a lot of work with 20-pound dumbbells. Vic came over to our booth, and the first thing he showed me, he said, I grew up during the Great Depression. Nobody had any money. So if you could buy a pair of dumbbells, let's say one 20-pounder and one 30-pounder, you didn't have just two dumbbells.
Right.
You now had three dumbbells. You had a 20, you had a 30, and you had a 50.
Right, you had the crisscross going.
Yep, you get that crisscross, and you do your dumbbell curls and presses and all that kind of thing.
Yep.
But the dumbbells cross-handled in one hand.
Yep.
I tried it that first time, and it was a revelation in thinking for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only was I doing thick-handled work at that point, because I had double the thickness I had to hold on to.
Yep.
I had a live thing there that I had to keep clamped together. Said that concept of a live thing is what you're going to take into everything else. So, you know, and today I actually sell the booklet that Vic put together. He sent one to me. In 2002, I didn't know that he had prostate cancer and was going to die.
Yep.
But he said, here you go. Make sure you reproduce this and sell it, because if the information's not out there, nobody's going to do this stuff, and it's going to die.
Yep.
And he said, you've got the equipment and the knowledge and all this stuff. You can get it out there. So that's what I do. And it's not a big booklet. It's, you know, feats of strength is what he called it. I think it's 25 pages, and he's got everything from progressive methods of steel bending and horseshoe bending to, you know, doing back lifts and one finger lifts and all that kind of stuff.
Yep. But
those two guys, when they did their act on the boardwalk there, they did more than just a feat of strength. Okay.
Right.
And I encourage everybody, check out the All Round Weightlifting Association. That's where the old Association of Barbell Men went to, and it, you know, they adopted all those old lifts. You know, I think the Association of Barbell Men had 50 lifts. The All Round Association probably covers 150 now.
Sure.
You know, they'll cover everything from pinky lifts to, you know, you've got your pinky lift record, your ring finger record, your middle finger record, your index finger record, you know, all that kind of thing, left hand and right hand. This is all valuable stuff. But their main gig that they did on the boardwalk was the weight juggling.
Okay.
And they had a pair of Milo barbell kettlebells.
Yeah.
So these were the ones that you see with, you know, big globes. I think they chromed their handles, but, it, you know, it's the one that I have here has, you know, a triangular all-metal handle that is obviously cast, and I think it's steel. But, you know, the one that my dad has that I grew up with, or the pair that my dad has, have what are called a shovel handle, which had a rotating wooden handle. And I think that's what the style that Vic and Charlie use. But they loaded them up to 40 pounds and juggled two at a time back and forth to each other.
Wow.
And they had about a 10 by 10 booth.
Yep.
They tossed them back and forth, 40 pounds. These were not big guys.
Charlie
Phelan, in his, I found his records in the Arena and Strength magazine. And for anybody who has gotten old issues from me, they may have gotten December 1934. I don't have any more copies, but that's what it's in. You know, his body weight was 140 pounds.
Okay.
And Vic told me that's about what he weighed, which makes sense. Vic was only a couple inches taller than me and not a huge guy. But they did a lot of this weight juggling stuff.
Yep.
So, and, you know, they would do their show on the hour. And if there was a crowd there, they'd do impromptu stuff. And they had, they work as each other's barkers and all that kind of thing. So there was a lot of volume in their training, but they varied it up during the day.
Okay.
And if you look at my book, the beginning, York Barbell Picnics and Classic Strength Events, I do have a photo of Charlie doing a one-finger lift. With, he had some very small train wheels that were on a, you know, basically a chain lift bar, just like I sell today. And he's using a heavy chain, and he's using the link as the ring for his middle finger.
Right.
And it's, you know, he's straddling it, and it's a one-hand deadlift. He's got one arm out to the side. Straight arm deadlift. This was obviously a partial kind of lift, but in the photo, it looks like the bar might be 5 or 6 inches off the ground.
Wow.
It's, it, you know, it's obvious. This is not some kind of grainy, touched up photo in here. So we can see how they're doing it. A lot of guys, a common feat that Gorner used to do is the pinky lift with a kettlebell.
Okay.
So, and Gorner actually trained with a range of kettlebells. So, it, you know, just like, and I think the handles on his kettlebells were much thinner than what we commonly associate today with like a Russian kettlebell design, which is about 1.5 to 2 inches in diameter, depending on the manufacturer. Mm-hmm. These were more like 1-inch handles, and his range of kettlebells obviously went, you know, and they had pairs in this one photo at this gym that he trained at in Austria. They had pairs of them going up probably from 20 pounds to about 100 pounds.
Right.
And what he would do is a pinky lift where the kettlebell would be on his forearm,
mm-hmm.
but the other fingers would not be doing anything. So it would be a genuine pinky lift, but I'm certain some of the weight was taken off by sitting on his forearm. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because otherwise he would have just ripped it off backwards kind of deal for that kind of thing for an overhead lift. And that was something that they guys would do along with maybe a bent press.
Yep.
So they'd get that kettlebell up there, keep it in close and tight, and then do a bent press with the other hand, and then press out the kettlebell with their pinky. That's pretty cool stuff.
And that's what I was going to say. Probably being it having a a smaller diameter handle on it, the kettlebell was probably very good for doing stuff like that. You know, it's probably more conducive to using a barbell. I don't know. I mean, I've never done. I pulled stuff up with like a finger before, but I've never got into this. And that's probably the next question. I mean, obviously, is we see the trends in what's going on in weightlifting. Maybe some's good, some's not so good. Other than all arounds, you don't really see much about this unless you fall over it or someone tells you, or like we're talking about today. Why do you think? Well, I can answer that, but I'll ask you. Why do you think this isn't in vogue at all now? Why is it falling off so much?
It's hard work.
Exactly.
It's just that simple. It's hard work. And what I try to point out to people is, let's face it. It's the hard stuff that brings the rewards.
Mm-hmm.
You do this kind of thing, it's going to not just get you notoriety. People will talk about it when they find out that you're doing it. For example, when I went for the one-hand barbell deadlift record, one of the things that I did, and Vic mentioned this to me, says the hand is made up of a lot of little parts.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to improve your overall hand strength, one of the things that you can do is work the individual parts.
Yep.
So in addition to working my one-hand barbell deadlift technique to get that record, I actually did 1- and 2-finger lifting with a ring.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and I did not go for maximums in that lift. That's not what I was training for, but I used that one-finger lifting concept as a training lift. So it was working those tendons and ligaments and small muscles, and there'd be, when I was doing my pinky lift, I rarely did more than 12 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It's my pinky, and I had no experience doing one-finger lifting. I started light, but...
Right, to get where you got. But, that reminds me, like, when Steve Shaw was on last night, we were talking about that. It was like, he looks at everything on him as weak points, where most people say, well, my biceps are strong, but my row is weak, so I'm going to have to do the row more, whatever, however you want to do it, where I guess if you wanted think about it that way, but he hit it just like you did. It's like, think that everything on you is weak, and keep trying from going from head to toe and keep building every area. Because, look, I'm a big believer, and I'm sure you'll – well, we'll see what you say when I bring this up. But, you know, there's plenty of parts. We all know what's weak on us. You know, we don't want to admit it to anybody or say it to ourselves, but we know if we bring them up to speed, it's only going to make everything else better. And I believe that totally. But I also believe, too, and I think this is something that you should do at least every 2 weeks. I think you should take a lift that you really like to do. And, I mean, you should be training it, obviously, all along. But I think you should take that lift, and if not every 2 weeks, at least once a month, and put it right to the floor. Because this is why I say this, for one reason. You know, you're shoring up all the small things, which you should do to make the big things better, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing is better for you mentally than taking a big beast of a weight and conquering it. Now, are you going to do it every time? Maybe not. But I'll tell you what, those are things that like jar everything else in your body. So when you want to improve your overall body, sometimes you got to do things like that where you're going to push it a little further than you should, but then you just pull it back and you start again. So
that's a measuring stick, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, Raj, think about this, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people like to do reverse deadlift. I do them clean. When they get real heavy, I use straps, all right? But here's an example of it. You know, you were talking about before working the pinky with 12 pounds, okay? You work all your fingers like that for an extended amount of time, not to the point where it's robbing you of anything you're doing, okay? But you do it on a very short, you know, figured out, you know, maybe you think 6 weeks ahead of the game. This is where I want to be with it. I've never done it, but et cetera, et cetera. Just think about this. Usually the weak point on most deadlifters is going to be their hands, their fingers. You know, the grip breaks, goodbye, okay? I don't care even if you got straps on. They're going to help you only so much. If your grip sucks, it sucks, period. But think just about the dividends from doing lifting like that. And then you switch over. Well, you can still be doing it. I guarantee you, your deadlift would come up considerably just for one reason. Your hands and fingers now, they're like darts now, man. You know, would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And what yeah. I did is, you know, in working towards that lift specifically, yeah. you know, I yeah. had years of lifting under my belt.
But absolutely.
When I decided to tackle that lift,
yeah,
I was 4 months out, and yeah. I decided, okay, where am I? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I had my training partner at the time video me. And I got up to 100 kilo, one-hand barbell deadlift.
Exactly.
Nice. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that was not even close to the record.
Right.
You know, the record at my weight class and age group, because it was an age group record, was 263 pounds, I think. So I had to yep. hit 264. So in yep. 4 months' time, in a one-hand lift, I had to add how much weight? 64 pounds.
64 pounds, right. Yeah.
That's pretty significant.
That's very significant.
So what I did is I said, okay, I'm going to, aside from working my technique on this lift,
yeah,
a 264-pound deadlift is, you know, not very much weight.
Yeah, but that's a monster with one hand. I don't care who you are. I mean,
well, right, but my yeah. attitude was 264 pounds is not much.
Right, it's nothing. Right. You get your head working now.
Right.
Yep.
So where is the weakness? Well, the right. weakness must be in the fact that I'm doing it one-handed.
Yep.
So instead of focusing on doing heavier and heavier deadlifts in that
yep.
four-month period of time,
yep.
I focused on training technique in my one-hand deadlift
yep.
and grip strength and forearm strength and one-handed lifts.
Absolutely.
And anything that gave me that upright positioning, right? Mm-hmm. So when it came to doing that, doing something like making my pinky stronger,
yep,
makes a difference.
Oh, yeah.
Because all of a sudden, instead of 10 digits on the bar, I had 5.
Mm-hmm.
So I broke it down, and I worked my hands both as individual fingers and as a whole hand.
Sure.
So did I quit doing heavy lifts? No, I kept doing them. In fact, what I decided to do instead of regular deadlifting heavy,
yep,
because I wanted to work on that one-handed thing. And I did both hands, right and left hand, even though I knew I was only going to set the record in one of them probably. Okay?
Yep.
I shifted to a trap bar deadlift because I wanted to save my back.
Yeah, I agree.
For these other things. So yep. I worked everything around it, changed my whole training around, and hit the record on the day that the meet was. Fantastic. Okay? But I think the real deciding factor was that I went for the one finger lifting.
Yep.
Because I knew what was capable for guys, yep, who had really done this stuff. And, you know, realize a guy like Charlie Phelan.
Yeah.
They talk about this in one of the events that I cover in that Classic Strength Events book.
Mm-hmm.
He did dumbbell juggling with a 100-pound dumbbell.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, where he would flip it with one hand,
mm-hmm,
and then catch it with the same hand on the way down.
Nice.
And it was a thick-handled dumbbell.
Yep.
So, you know, he's doing explosive stuff. He's doing endurance things. He's doing thick-handled. He's doing tossing and catching. It, you know, so was there one thing that Charlie Phelan did to make it so that he could do a one-finger lift of, what, one-finger lift of 506 pounds?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Now, he was a professional when he did that. When he was still an amateur, he had the record, but his record was 411 and a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So they separated the records out at that point when they knew what they were. And yeah, as a professional, he got stronger. Why?
Yeah.
He didn't have a day job. His day job was
to train
professional strongman on, yeah, the boardwalk. And he did shows and things like that. So he could really drill down on the strength stuff. What that means, though, is, it, you know, here's a guy where we can look at these records. He was a real guy. I never met him, but I met his show partner. And, you know, a lot of these tips and tricks, if you want to call them that, you know, they're techniques. They're not tricks, but they're techniques to the training. They're techniques to the movement itself. All these things combine together, and that's what we have to do. And none of it's easy. You know who I see doing one-finger lifts?
Who's that?
Rock climbers.
Yeah, okay. Yep, definitely. That makes sense, huh?
Yeah. Rock climbers are doing one-finger stuff all the time. And I'll get guys saying, you know, the grip strength on weightlifters is so much better than everybody else. I say, look at rock climbers. I say, yeah, but those guys don't weigh anything.
And look at anybody that does really solid manual labor. You want to talk about fitness, man?
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean, it's like, look, the bottom line is with this whole thing with these one-finger, two-finger lifts is where you hit it on the head. It's like You just can't do one thing to train those areas. You have to do multiple things. And once you can put that program together and work on it for a while, no matter what you touch, it's going to be a lot easier for you because, you know, you, look, at I love, like, grabbing things, okay, like sandbags in one hand and just pick them up because I like being able to just, like, snatch things hard off the ground or whatever. I mean, I love that type of finger strength. Now, granted, that's your whole – it's five fingers, okay? But I've pulled stuff up with three before like that. Obviously, you're not going to go berserk with it because I don't want an injury in the hand or the wrist. But there's something very romantic about that. It's like being able to take and pull things with like one finger, two finger. All right, maybe you're using four or five. I just think that, like you said, it's too damn hard, obviously, now you don't see it. But, you know, I've always been a big proponent. Let's face it, neck, hand, fingers, wrist. What is that for besides, you know, in case you ever got in a car accident or whatever? I got news for you. Roger knows, I know, all this. You can disable an individual with your hands. You can literally walk. I've done it. I've bounced. You can walk somebody right to the door. You grab them by an earlobe with your two fingers. They'll walk right behind you. You can snap somebody right in the forearm, and they'll walk with you too, believe me. So, you know, we're not condoning going out and getting in any shit, but here's the deal. If something should present itself to you or you have to protect your child or maybe your wife or girlfriend because you got a bunch of people coming at you, they want to rob you or whatever, you got two choices. As I was told before by many strong people, sometimes the best thing to do is you run the other way so you save your life. But if you have no choice, the hands, man, can save your life. The fingers can save your life because anybody knows self-defense, first thing you do is you go poke them right in the eye. You're gone. You can run away or whatever you want to do at that point. But these things have multi, like we try to do with every show. We want you to not only be strong when you go in that gym, that garage, that driveway, the woods, hanging shit from tree limbs. We love it all. But we also want you to be able to go out in the real world, and if you should come upon something, be prepared, and you can take care of yourself. And I think that is the fundamental rule of everything we talk about here.
Yeah, and, it, you know, you look at a guy like Charlie Phelan.
Sure.
And he has these two records in one finger and two finger lifts, right?
Yep.
But he also had hand and thigh, hip lift, and back lift records.
That's awesome, man.
That's completely the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yep.
Where you would think, oh, a hip lift, that's not even using your hands.
Yeah, you got to push off on your thigh so your ass comes up, man.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's
come on, will you?
But, it's this all-round strength that you build from the tips of your fingers to the toes on your feet.
Yep.
And you drill down in this stuff, you take it seriously, and think about what Norb said, where he says, don't be a lifting bum.
Yep.
But then also look at John Terlazzo, who is a gym owner in New York City. He took the reins at Strength and Health magazine as its editor for – I think 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
He was a real professional, but he used to also do the live radio shows, the vaudeville act kind of thing.
Sure, sure.
With John Davis.
Yep.
When they lived in New York together, they were buddies. And yet he had that drop foot. So what did he do? He worked around it.
Absolutely.
There's other stuff that could be done.
Yep.
And that's the attitude. So as you're dealing with the crap that life hands you, get into the gym. Use it as your mental relaxation to clear your mind. Make it your zen-like activity. And
hey, like I said to my buddy's son who's training here now, he's 14. Like I said to him, how bad do you want it, man? How bad do you want to do this? How bad do you want to get bigger? These are things that need to be asked of anybody from 9 to to 90, all right? I'll tell you another thing yesterday. The family was over for macaroni yesterday, and my nephew was 5 years old, and he's going to probably be big like his dad. Obviously, he's got a hell of a gene pool he's just drawing from. And the girls are all good athletes, and they're all young and you know, lean as can be, et cetera, et cetera. So I got all the stones in the driveway, right? He always goes over to him. So his dad brings him a stone. Little Danny picks it up, puts it up over his head. It probably weighed 10 pounds, all right? So he's messing around. I've got all the spheres out there and stuff lined up. So there's one that's 240. And it probably was because I dyed it red when we made it that attracted him to it. So his father's like, give it a shot, Danny, like that. And it's on a little hill, right? This kid probably doesn't weigh any more than 40 pounds. Guess what? He started rolling the thing, man, and we kept going to him. Get right up on it. You know, I'd walk over to him, and he'd push a little further. Now, when it got up a little higher, he couldn't move it, so I said, okay. And without even me saying, he knew to get on the other side of it and spun it and started moving it back down again. And we got, like, up to where it was sitting, and it was a little bit steeper. And I helped him just a little bit and got it. And then we took a concrete cinder block. I said, Danny, you think you can lift this? And he goes, yeah. I said, all right, remember, we're going to squat down and pull. He probably got that thing about 2 or 3 inches off the ground, man.
That's awesome.
You know, no shit, man. And it's like,
and it's, yeah, a little Sisyphus going there.
Dude, I mean, I'll tell you what, every time he comes over, I know he's going to want to do it because he always wants to go out and look at the garden. I just put the garden in, right? So it's just like, I'm just going to encourage him. If he wants to move it a little bit and he can move that 240 sphere, I don't care if he moves it 2 or 3 feet. As I kept saying to him, how do your hands feel, man? And he's like, good. I said, let me look at them. And he'd show me the palms of his hands. I go, they look stronger already. I said, today your name is Danny the Rock. And he loved it, man. I was calling him Danny the Rock the whole day. So people, you know, like, we're talking about all this stuff today, what you have to do to get to your destination with one finger, two finger lifts, let's even talk a fist, whatever it is. Like Roger said, you know, you've got to build for these things, you know, and we know the transference of everything. We know it with stones. We know it with one finger lifts, two finger lifts, practice, practice, practice. But, you know, I'm looking at a 5-year-old yesterday, okay? The face just lit up on him, man. It's like, if you're not telling him they can't do things, and we obviously know he's not going to lift a 240-pound stone. But when a little boy like that can take and roll it a few feet, that's a big friggin' deal, man. And to know when he's getting down, because I'm telling him basically to kind of squat a little bit and move those hips, and he's slipping because I've got gravel in the driveway. So, you know, his little feet are going out from under him trying to push it. But the moral of the whole story is this. Go out like Roger said. Therapy it is, man. It's like rehab. Get out to the fucking gym and just go out and do something. I don't care if you go there and do 25 leg raises and you say, I've had enough for today. Fine. Go home and you sit down and think about it. But you know something? Let it be an example. When a 5-year-old goes after something that aggressively, of course, we're pushing on him big time. But the point of the matter is, anybody can do this stuff. You want to do it. It shows a little boy had the will to try that thing. He wasn't afraid, man, at all. So what's your excuse, right, Raj?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I love tackling the iron.
And absolutely.
It's whether I'm screwing around in the gym with it or, you know, concentrating on one specific thing.
Yeah.
It's all good.
It is.
And, you know, find that one thing that's your deal.
Yep.
I love hearing from customers, you know, Raj, I started working my one-hand swing. I've got one customer who it has gotten into my articles that I did on the one-hand dumbbell swing the YouTube videos, stuff like that on the site.
Sure.
And, I'm loving this lift. I've reorganized all my training around it, 64 years old, and it's like I'm a kid again.
Yep.
Yeah, that's awesome. He says,
yep. You should never lose the kid-like feeling in you or the way you act. You know, I like people to say to me, you're immature. I was like, thank you. Fuck you. You know what I mean? It's like the problem with you is you decide to take the world too seriously, and now you couldn't have a good time if somebody tattooed good time on your forehead. You know, this is critical thinking here. This is what it's about. It's like everybody thinks, oh, it's weights. Oh, you pick up a weight. Big deal. Bullshit, man. You got to be, if you want to be good at this, ability is only going to take you so far. Your critical thinking, looking at things, reading things, digesting things, putting them into action, implementation, buying the equipment you need, and most of all, getting your ass out there no matter what the circumstances are, and whether you got to dance around it or hit it directly because of something going on with you, by all means, go out and do it. Because it's like, you know, how many times have you read articles on and on now, even, you know, people, senior citizens, the benefits of weight training, period. It doesn't matter if they're sitting there and lifting soup cans, all right? There's a stimulation that goes to the brain that triggers things in people. And you and I both know, Roger, I've always been a big hand guy, and here's why. When you go and grab a bar and shake it, I defy you to not think that you're getting neurotransmission to the brain that's telling you, hey, Eric, something's going on here with your body. We got to react right now. What are we going to do? And the wheels are set in motion. So that's where I'll leave it today with that. But, Raj, anything you got to add on, and then we're going to sign off, what we'll do.
Yeah, no, this past weekend I was very busy because, you know, Memorial Day weekend, family Absolutely. Things, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yep.
Did I get training in? Yeah, I did. And was it at the warehouse gym here? No. It was in my backyard where I've got some old grindstones that I lift, and I did some plate juggling and tossing, and I used some of the those Milo weights that I've got in my home office. So did I get a great workout in? Yeah. Was it the workout that I had planned? No. Was it a great workout? Yeah, my hands are feeling it today. I did a little too much of that plate tossing and juggling. But, hey, that's good stuff. So if all you've got is two pair of dumbbells – or two dumbbells at home, your 20 and your 30 pounder.
There you go.
Well, now you've got three weights that you can use. And how many different things can you do with those three weights that you can work with? And do you think there's enough there to actually give you a great workout? Yeah, that's what Vic told me. He says, every day, something. And here's one of the ideas. And it's, wow, you know, and he got me thinking, and he turned into a real mentor for me with these ideas. And, apparently I did suck up some of that information like the sponge that he was hoping I would be, because these ideas come back to me. You know, it was almost 20 years ago when he gave me that tip right there. And that's literally the tip of the iceberg. But, it's good stuff. So, anyway, I'm going to give you my information.
Well, why don't you give the name of that book out, too, that you carry before you give all the information?
Yeah. It's Feats of Strength by Vic Boff.
Okay,
and
how much is that, Roger, so they know?
I think it's $14.95.
Okay.
Just off the top of my head, but I didn't intend actually talking about that. But that is, you had a really good question there, Eric. On is there information how to train for this kind of stuff? And yes, it's actually right from Vic.
there you go. So we got it right from the horse's mouth today, so to speak.
Right. He wrote it down. He preserved some of this information on paper, and aside from training a lot of people.
Well, we got it now, so if people want it, they know to go out to
It's great.
Comicathletic.com. All right, Raj, so give us the whole shot now.
Yep. My name is Roger LaPointe, and the website is Atomic Athletic, and that's exactly the way it sounds, AtomicAthletic.com. In the upper right-hand corner, you can see blog, B-L-O-G. That's different from the Atomic Athletic Bombproof Bulletin email newsletter, which I've been doing since 1999. And the newsletter you sign up for on the lower left, many of the newsletters are in the blog, not all of them, not even close to all of them. But there are quite a few there. There's extra stuff in the blog, too, that never made it into the newsletter, just little things that I came up with that weren't full newsletter worthy, really, but certainly worthy to be on the blog. I got a ton of stuff there. It's an absolute mountain of information. And then I put training information in with the different products, too, because it's appropriate and it occurs to me as I'm writing these things, and I can get a little bit verbose, but it, you know, I'm getting the information out there. So,
okay,
there we go.
Good. Okay. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by U.S. Wellness Meats. That's www.grassfedbeef.com. Saugerties Chiropractic Center, that's 845-246-5020. Dr. William Wong, that is www.docspreferred.com. Roger LaPointe at www.atomicathletic.com. And my good friend Melody Schoenfeld, www.evilmonkeyent.com. That's EvilMunkeyEnt.com. Any of our listeners who want to talk to Melody or her people and want to order some equipment custom built, 25% off anything right now when you mention Motivation and Muscle. And that's a hell of a deal. Fiorello Barbell, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationandMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Write us a review. Let's see. I got to think of all these things. Facebook, Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. Twitter, at Fiorello Eric. Like I said, we got some stuff cooking, so it's not going to be long. We're almost done with it. And I'll leave you with a couple things today. Number one, if somebody seeks you out in a gym or the concrete jungle, give them a little time. As my mom would say, that smile or that kind word might be the only thing a person gets that day. Look, it's nice to have outward strength, but you know something? You owe it to somebody at least to show them what you got inside. That's the shit that matters, man. Yes, defend yourself. Be a great lifter. Be a great, you know, just be an ambassador for this stuff. And that's what we want here. We want winners, create winners, and we'll always be winners. Secondly, obviously, I always tell everybody to go out, kick the shit out of something today, man. You know, up here in New York, it's going to be brutal tomorrow night or tomorrow during the day when I work out. They're talking 90 degrees and high humidity. So we've gone from like 35 degrees to 90 and like, boom. Okay, well, that's the way it is here. We're not having summers, et cetera, et cetera. I don't really care. And then thirdly, a friend of the show said that we should be running music through the show more. And I don't want that right now, at least. I like our approach. I like this hardcore stuff. I appreciate people giving me, you know, ideas. I mean, I always listen to people. But today, you know, I'm gonna talk what I would have going on the show pretty much. I'm an old school Van Halen or David Lee Roth era is what I like. And there's a little excerpt from here that I'll just pretend if we were playing the music, it's going to go like this. And the cradle will rock. Yeah, the cradle will rock. And I say, rock on. I'll leave you with that. You know, that's going to be the end music for the show today, other than when I put the bumper stuff on. If I'm playing that, I'm okay there. But for right now, man, we're just going to be solid, strong, and absolutely brutal. Raj, thanks for being on Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Thanks, Eric. Glad to be here.
Same here. Good show, and we'll talk to you next week. So for Roger LaPointe, this is Eric Fiorello. You know, like I said, the cradle will rock, man. Go out and listen to some old school VH. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.